Warning. Broken simulation. Broken simulation. With Sam Tripoli.
Welcome to Johnny Woodard Presents Broken Sim.
You restarted the show so you could say that.
Starring Johnny Woodard and his trusty sidekick, distant second, Sam.
I'm Rod Tripoli. Roddy.
Sam Tripoli. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the top 100 in Vietnam podcast in the world. Just in Vietnam, though. It's good to be here. As you can tell, we're starting to crank these things out more. Johnny, do I have mush mouth?
Mush mouth? No.
Mush mouth. Is it mush mouth or mush mouth?
I've heard mush mouth, but I think it's the same either way.
Sounds more appropriate, though? Mush mouth or mush mouth?
Let's ask Jugal.
Jugal?
Yeah, that's what I call it now. It's soft G. That's how I decided. Jugal.
Is it mush or mush?
I would vote on... Let's see. Hold on. I can't even tell from the way they've written it here.
Mush mouth.
Mush mouth.
So you were right, and I was wrong.
Obviously.
Well, this is why it's your show.
Mush mouth.
Johnny, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for tuning in. What a wonderful week. Your comments are great. You love the show. You appreciate
it. I got good news. We moved up in the Netherlands, too.
What?
Yeah, we're up to 163 in the Netherlands
163!
Now. From off the charts to up in the Netherlands.
Do you think there's just one small region?
It might just be Casper again. Casper might be.
We can't go anywhere in the Netherlands without just being mobbed by the broken.
Yeah, you're like the honorary mayor of this town that you don't even know about. They got murals. You know how we have in LA, they got like Kurt Cobain murals and Jim Morrison murals.
Yeah.
It's just your face.
I have murals.
Where?
In Australia.
Really? Are you serious?
People send me murals, not all the time, but a couple times.
That's cool. I tell you what, if you do murals on the show, we will show them.
Go to rockfin.com/tinfoil hat and find the mural and you'll see it.
If you do a mural of Broken Simulation, we will.
You will guest spot. You will be able to see.
We will have you on the show.
Yeah. See the top banner?
Oh, that's a mural, huh? I've wondered what that was.
Yeah, it's a mural of me. Yeah.
Sending out some brainwaves.
So, Johnny, do you think we went to the Netherlands, like, they would have to, like just barrier off people trying to get to us? Johnny, based on our success.
Maybe that's why you're getting so many mushrooms lately.
Our fame.
Yeah.
What kind of barrier would they use? Would they use A, a fence, B, like white police tape, like you can't go through, or would it just be a valet with his one arm out holding one person, holding Casper from talking to us?
I think it might actually be a person holding themselves back from talking to us because they couldn't even get a bouncer. Like, it's just a guy, yeah, like this.
Like more
no,
right?
No, stay away. Stay away.
They would show up in green Power Ranger.
You want to hear some? Okay, you mentioned reviews. If you do your 5-star review, we'll read it on here.
Reviews!
This is 5 stars. This is from Donald J. Trump 69. So I'm not sure if that's the real Donald Trump or not.
Is he from the future?
Move over, Joe Rogan. Johnny Woodard is the new king of podcasting. He effortlessly runs the show and is able to keep Sammy T under control. Keep up the good work, young man.
You really are my handler. That's what everybody says. Johnny's your handler. You really are my handler. You are.
Is there any? If I ever kept you from talking about anything, though, that would be the sign of a handler.
Hey, dude, don't talk about that.
Never. Okay.
But Johnny said that he would take $100,000
and split it with you, yeah.
Yeah, and you would give me, what, half and be like, don't talk about Jews? Is that what you said?
Basically, yeah. Because, you know, like if the CIA came to me and was like, listen, just keep Sam from talking about the Jews. Here's $100,000 a year.
So your number is $100,000. Is how
much
you
would
take
to you first.
To sell out.
I would come to you first and say, hey, they've offered me $100,000.
Yeah.
Would you like to go into business together? A business of not talking about Jews on the podcast.
And so then your number is $100,000.
To get us free money for not talking about Jews. Yeah.
For the rest of your life, you can't talk about Jews. I'm not
seduced by that. That doesn't interest me.
You can't even talk about, I mean, like, you can't even be like, I love Jew chicks. They'd be like, we need our money back.
Oh, okay.
You can't even, anything. You're like, oh, is that synagogue?
Because I do like Jews.
Everybody including Palestinians, loved you bitches, okay? They're the fucking best.
I don't know why we had to say bitches, but...
Because I love them bitches.
In memory of Simone Biles' brain, I think we should not say the word bitches.
Can we get into that real
quick? Let's do the reviews first. Okay. That's a big story. Okay. That'll be like a half hour.
Story. Yeah. That's a big
okay.
story.
Okay. This is from Sweet Girl She. Lozenges is the subject. Uh-oh, here we go. I'm 30 weeks pregnant, and my baby... always starts kicking like crazy when I listen to Broken Simulation. I don't know what it is, probably Sam's voice, because this is the only podcast he likes. Just letting you guys know.
Aww!
That's cool, right?
We have there's a pregnant, Broken. Yeah,
there's a pregnant woman listening to this
I love it, dude. I never would have guessed that. I love Pregnant Broken. I gotta be honest
too,
with
yeah.
you. Some of my
pregnant,
favorite.
If you're pregnant,
two fans for one, I'm all about that action.
Good, best wishes. God bless you.
I would really like to know if anyone conceives to this show.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, just turns it on, just goes to Pound Town,
yeah.
and just, boom, babies, Viking
we should
babies.
Probably give them, we should probably give them a little help, right, if they're trying to conceive right now.
Boom, making that love to you. Let me hit that spot. Give you goo.
Baby.
Get Johnny, I was singing.
I was doing your hype, man.
You really
I was hyping.
It was great.
Okay, this is from Sam the Convict. Best show around. When will we see Sam fight a male feminist in the boxing ring?
Dude, set it up. As long as you're not too jacked, I'll fight them.
He would do that for sure.
Do you think are there shredded male feminists out there?
Probably.
Just shredded?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I love chicks?
Probably dudes that didn't get any in high school and then
they
got
just
jacked.
Overly
yeah,
work
they
out.
They overcompensated.
And you ever see the fat people who get in shape but they're still kind of fat?
Yeah, it's hard, man. All that extra skin, it's hard to get rid of that,
dude. How do they do that? Do they laser it off?
I think they literally probably cut it off. Yeah, and then, like, stitch it. I'm totally guessing. I have no idea, honestly.
Johnny, honestly, I think because you wear glasses, you are a medical expert.
Okay, I like that.
Was that mush mouth right there? Yeah. Was that a mush mouth?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Listen, I talk a lot. Okay, so I get mush mouth once in a while.
Oh, it happens to me, dude. If when I'm doing ad reads, like by the end of it, I'm tripping over
I
words.
I mean, some days I'll do 3 or 4 podcasts. I have mush mouth. Okay.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's, let's be honest, you weren't starting at like a 10 out of 10 either.
Johnny! I mean, how come I have mental issues and you can just beat me like a pinata?
Because you came to work.
I really missed out.
You should have stayed at home
that,
today.
Dude.
You should have stayed at home.
I really missed out.
You should have stayed
that.
At home. Should have stayed home.
I should have stayed yeah. home.
This is
Johnny, what if I just quit right now? And I was like, for mental. Johnny, what if I just go sit on that couch over there?
And cheer me on while I did the podcast.
For mental issues.
Just like, come on, Johnny, you're doing a good job. This is from Ricky Sticky Icky. I'm with it, he says. At first, I couldn't figure out the show. Now it's my comedic relief.
See, that's why I always tell people. It's like, people just keep it simple, stupid. this is really stupid.
It is really
stupid. So is this complex stupid?
Not really. No, sometimes it is. Maybe. It depends on what we're talking about.
It's not easily digestible stupid. Like, what kind of stupid is this show? Because it's like, there's people like, you get it. You get the stupid very quickly. Obviously, people are like, what is this show? I don't get this show.
Well, I have a feeling that maybe 20% of the people that watch the show, based on the comments, don't realize that they're not watching Tinfoil Hat. Because we get the comment like, whoa, did XG get fired? Maybe once a week. Like, XG, it's gone, huh?
All right, Johnny, what's the next read?
This is from NGZ Battletoad. Best podcast. Better than Tinfoil Hat, 100%.
Whoa, Johnny, you took a little pride in that. You need a little more, way too much pride in that.
I'd just like to see your reaction. This is from Way High, Nevada. Name change. Can we change the name of your fans from The Broken to Simtards? Just a thought.
We've already discussed Simtards.
Yeah, we did.
And I feel like The Broken is way better.
Yeah, yeah.
The Broken is way
Simtards is just not acceptable.
It's also just, I not to be rude, it's like, it's easy.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. Yeah, because there people are adding tards to everything
like,
now.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Repub tards.
And The Broken sounds like the best band ever.
Yeah, that's got to be a band. I guarantee you that's a band.
Look it up.
It's a band, and they look like the guys from Creed. That's what they look like. I guarantee you.
No, dude. I think they could definitely have like a hair metal vibe to them.
Okay. I win.
Really?
I win.
Oh, dude. I'm going to be honest with you, Johnny. You knocked that out of the park.
Yeah.
I could see them singing about Christ for sure, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we're the broken.
Can we know what their website's called? The Broken Nation.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Whole bunch. That's their website. I mean, it's a
Started Nation? Is that Raider Nation started that?
It's possible, yeah.
So hold on, go.
Wait, that's their last post. It was 7 years ago, so I have a feeling this band fell apart.
Oh, this band's done.
Yeah, their website's not done. The
website's over.
Yeah, or it never got up to begin.
Can you contact them? Tell them we want to get the band back together?
None of these buttons work. All right, well, there's the broken.
Well, it was a pleasure, broken.
Look at that dumb picture, man. Look at how serious. There's one guy.
I don't think they're dumb.
Only one guy's looking at the camera, and this guy on the right has that Pete Wentz haircut that I just hate.
I like it, dude. He's got like a rockabilly's look.
All right. Well, that's it.
Well, thank you, bro. There's so many broken out there, and we're the new broken. Okay. We're the new broken.
Yeah, it's ours now. We gotta finish these reviews. This is from DZAK only. Sam and Johnny, love you, Sam. Sound a little down on yourself here. He's hoping you're doing it. I think it was that week you were a little...
Yeah, that week when I was basically calling my shots on comedy, and so far I've been 100% correct. Thank you.
This is
thank you.
We have a message in Vietnamese here. So.
Oh, snaps. Can't wait to hear.
Let's see what this is.
Best podcasts. I am a big fan of Johnny and Sam Tripoli. Amazing broken simulation. Best Apple podcast. Please speak more Vietnamese. Love from Vietnam.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
That's cool.
Johnny, we got to say... Can you write this down, Johnny?
Yeah, hold on,
Don't put anything in there about my dick or my butthole, okay?
Okay, no dick or butthole. Got it.
No talking about me loving goblin dicks or anything
no
like that.
No goblin dicks, okay.
No goblin dicks.
Okay.
No goblin
dicks,
suck,
no butthole.
No talking no about dicks. My dick, me okay. eating dicks, sucking dicks, loving dicks, working dicks. None of that.
Okay, none of that.
Okay? I just want to say to the Vietnamese, thank you for that wonderful, wonderful comment. If there is a Vietnamese comedy festival, we would be more than happy to come and rock in Vietnam with you, the people, and all the lady boys.
Okay.
Thank you, Vietnam!
Well, you started with thank you, but okay, we got it twice. No problem. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here's your
here
shot. The camera's on you. You ready? Three,
yeah.
Two, go.
Sam Chipoli, yêu Kim, cảm ơn bạn đã nhận xét tuyệt vời đó.
I didn't say any of the things you told me not to say, dude.
Start it again, Johnny. I know you said some weird homoerotic shit, and I don't think it's cool. Here we go.
Okay. It's just Sam Tripoli loves cum. That's all.
Okay. Loves what?
Cum.
What?
Cum. That's okay. That wasn't on the list.
You made me eat my own cum.
I listened.
Here we go.
No, it's not yours. It's not yours, dude. Nice try, but it's not.
Go.
Cảm ơn bạn đã nhận xét tuyệt vời đó. Nếu có một lễ hội hài của Việt Nam, chúng tôi rất vui được đến chơi rock tại Việt Nam với các bạn, mọi người và tất cả các cô gái tiểu thư. Xin cảm ơn Việt Nam.
That was thank you Vietnam at the last there.
I don't even want to know what you made me say.
No, I didn't do it. That I didn't do any weird stuff.
Oh, just the first time. I was talking about my love of jizz. It's rude.
Yeah, that joke wears thin, so I only did it one time.
Okay.
This is from Al Beers. Titzilla. I want a Titzilla T-shirt. I will drop the design if I have to. Much love. Keep bringing the heat. Now, how does that work? Does she have likeness rights? Do we have to approach her?
She does not have likeness rights. She does.
So what I'm picturing like a big,
dead,
like Godzilla, like wrecking a town,
yes,
with just big tits.
Yes.
Is that what we're thinking?
Yes.
With lipstick on and maybe
just
a wig.
Big,
pendulous
cloud
breasts.
Cloud makeup, yeah. Giant knockers. It just should say Titzilla, giant knockers, haunted face. That's how.
Wait, what? What is it? Haunted face? What was the
haunted
first?
Face? Giant knockers? Titzilla? You don't need to do it through the city. It doesn't work. Just giant mammies, haunted face.
Ron Paul approved. This is from Dig Babe. What other podcast has a cutout of Ron Paul looking over?
Tinfoil hat.
What other podcast has a cutout of Ron Paul looking over Johnny's shoulder? Well, no other podcast has me, so no other podcast has
that. True. Point you.
None. Not even the Liberty Report, which is Ron Paul's show, has that.
Oh, that's true.
Love listening to Johnny and his sidekick, Sam.
Thank you.
But even better, watching on Rockfin. Huge fan of everything Sam does, but Broken Simulation is by far my favorite. 5 stars. Big Dig Babe. Thanks, Dig Babe.
Big
that's a
dig,
tongue twister.
Dig Babe, Babe, Dig.
This is from Schmitty48. Atrocious genocide of a podcast. My favorite thing is when Johnny gets annoyed with the pop-up ads in his stories while at the same time putting too many ads every 5 minutes. Very ironic. Now, I will say, if you're watching on YouTube, we don't have anything to do with that. And we don't get money from that, unfortunately.
We try not to get money.
Yeah. Now, the one ad that, and I don't put ads any sooner than every 20 minutes apart on the podcast. We only ever have usually two talking ads and then maybe like one at the beginning. That's it. So give us a break, dude.
Rockfin's got no ads. You watch it, they're free.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true that. Okay.
True that.
Well, it's not free.
Well, I mean, oh, yeah, it's
without
ads. Point is.
Yeah. This is from Ishby.
Or you can go to samtriplee.com.
It's there too, yeah. Swarm Trooper. The past episodes have been hilarious. Johnny makes the show funny. Sam's the best co-host. Swarm. Hashtag Swarm. This one, oh, I don't know about this, Sam. This is from Hamster Times. Sam is fat and funny. Sam is so funny and fat. Like 20 sodas a day, maybe. He should use Jazzercise. I don't know what Jazzercise. Maybe he's like Jazzercise. That's the last one.
All right, dude. Well,
thank you. You read your five.
Thank
we
you
will
to
read
everybody.
Anything. 5-star reviews.
Thank you to everybody. But that asshole at the end.
Yeah, you ruined it, man. Come on.
Come on, man. I don't have 20 sodas a day. I do have to get back to fasting.
You cut back though on soda, right?
Big time.
What? But from what to what? Like, where would you say you were or now?
I was doing like, I was doing two normal size ones to two little ones.
You mean the little tiny cans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's where you were, or that's where you are now?
I'm at the two tiny cans.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I'm about at that level now, too. Dude, I used to drink a lot of diet soda.
But you're young, so you still younger, so you still have metabolism going.
If people keep telling you to try meditation, and you're like, when would I have time? You should check out Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. I've had this app for years now. I love it. It's really simple. It's one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has a wind-down session that their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/broken. That's headspace.com/broken for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. Again, this is the best deal offered right now, and it's at headspace.com/broken. Go there today.
Johnny! I'm being dead honest with you. My metabolism is going so slow. So I'm driving to San Diego. We're doing a live Tinfoil Hat comedy night at San Diego. We sold it out. San Diego is the white person Miami Beach. It's Miami, but with just all white people.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it?
Okay. It's like they're equally attractive. Like, you beat a real war to go, who's got hotter people?
Oh, the people.
But I'm driving down, Johnny, and from L.A., was it, 180 miles, Johnny?
L.A. to San Diego?
Or it's 150 or 160.
Let me see. It is 120 miles.
100, what?
It says 120 miles on the 5.
120 miles, meaning if you're going 60 miles an hour, you should get there in 2 hours.
And according to this, it would take you 2.5 hours if you left right now. So
it took me 4 hours.
That's unbelievable.
4 hours. It was bumper to bumper, and I was doing jokes about, but it's like, yeah, I get it.
And it's a big highway, dude. It's not like you're on like a four-lane deal.
Four or
it's
five.
Massive. It's four, huge. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you do both sides, it's 10.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, well, four-lane means two on each side, which is big in most states.
It's five on each side.
Yeah, and it can be gridlocked. I mean, just stopped.
From the whole 120 miles.
That's unbelievable. Were you late?
I got there right on time. I literally walked up.
How many times is that? Dude, that happens to me all the time. Like, something important, and I just always end up getting there, like, right on time. You know?
Well, I mean, I broke some laws to get there.
But it always seems to work out. I don't know.
But,
me,
Johnny,
you know,
this is how slow my metabolism is.
Okay.
I had a chicken hummus sandwich that was made at my house.
Okay.
I ate it because I just couldn't stop. Because when I do road gigs, I love to hit In-N-Out. That's kind of my, like, road gig food is the Roxham In and Out. Do a double.
It's good, yeah.
No onions. I'm not onion guy. I like tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't want onions on there.
I could do cheese.
I like onions, but I don't want them on a burger.
I don't want them on a burger. I'm not an onion guy. I like.
Okay, tell me your. Let's talk about it. What's your classic? What's your cheeseburger ideal? Go ahead.
I mean, dude.
What do you do?
Well, sometimes I like sauteed mushrooms on there, dog.
Oh, no.
I'm all about that.
No.
What?
No.
I could take sauteed mushrooms on everything. I mean, I could literally, you throw it out
really?
Some snatch, I'm eating it.
That's disgusting. Ugh.
What? I'm doing it.
I'm just imagining
it.
What you just said, and that's gross.
These are a few of my favorite things.
That's how you get an infection right there.
Yeah, I mean, who's throwing sauteed mushrooms on some snatch?
Sounds like you, maybe.
It was a joke. Thank you for making it gross.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, you just told me I love cum. Shut up. Okay, so I love a double.
Sorry
and,
for...
And listen, dude, Johnny, you've been all over the country. Yeah. Have you had a better burger than an In-N-Out burger?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Five
What's
Guys
the best
is better.
Burger?
Five Guys is better.
Disagree.
I mean, you're okay, but it's not... To me, Five Guys, it's a thicker patty. It's
bigger,
fresher. It's fresher.
It's bigger, but In-N-Out melts in your mouth.
Nah, Five Guys better.
Okay, we'll disagree.
Yeah, we will. I think Wendy's is a better... Is well, a better burger.
So
than
you know, it's really interesting. They did. Have we talked about
when
this
it's done
here?
Right? I think it's better.
They did a whole like this company did a whole thing where they sent all these shoppers in to try everybody's chicken sandwich. Do you know who had the number one chicken sandwich?
For me, it's Chick-fil-A. Go ahead. Who?
Wendy's.
Really?
Wendy's had the.
You
number
don't even
one
associate chicken. Them with the chicken sandwich. Really?
Number one chicken sandwich.
It's a burger joint. That's so interesting.
Number it was Wendy's, and then number two was Burger King.
Burger King, really?
Wow. People, I used to eat that burger.
I used to eat Burger King all the time. Man.
I used to eat Burger King all the time.
Like when I was a kid.
So when I was a kid, Johnny, to raise money, you would go door to door and sell what they call BK dollars.
Oh, I did this. Yeah.
You ever do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we did. When I was very young, they were still doing that.
Right?
Yeah.
This is how they do charities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So my dad would just jack a bunch of the dollars that we were supposed to sell, and we would just go eat Burger King like three times a week. We didn't even realize how retarded it was.
And did you have to pay for them? How did that work?
No.
They were just, oh, that's so funny.
I sold a record of the most BK dollars ever in Cortland, ever.
You're fucking goofball.
Dude, I used to sell it all the
they
time.
They used to, you ever, where I'm from, they do those, they sell those chocolate bars, those world famous chocolate bars.
Yeah.
You remember, for charity, it's always, they're like a dollar.
Yeah.
And the almond ones, dude, those are the best chocolate bars. We used to sell them to raise money for our baseball team. And then they changed the recipe like 5 or 10 years ago.
Don't you hate when they just do that? Yeah. Like, you ever go to your favorite website and there's just new web design? You're like, and why did we do this?
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
Because somebody's job is there. They have to
justify it, yeah.
Yeah, they have to justify
their
it.
Existence.
So look at this new website. You're like, it's garbage. That's how I felt when the Cheesecake Factory got rid of the raspberry lemon cheesecake. You're like, this is why I'm here, and I've never been back.
I love cheesecake.
So unless Cheesecake Factory, Mushmouth Sam, if you want Cheesecake Factory, if you want me to come back, you better fucking tell me you
raspberry
got that.
Raspberry lemon?
Yeah.
Okay. I love cheesecake.
Can you see if they have it back?
Okay. Go ahead. Tell me your burger. Okay, so sauteed mushrooms, what?
No, I love two patties. I'm simple, dude.
Tell us your tweet at Broken Sim on Twitter if you would, or at Broken Sim Show on Instagram,
Johnny,
tell us what your favorite burger is.
I'm not down, Johnny, with like Jack in the Box and Carl's Jr. Like, dude, Tata knew we put a bike on a burger. Like, they're like, we put a bike, a fence, a Filipino on a burger, right? See, if you, it's like, no, dude.
Look, go on, though. Saute mushrooms, cheese. You do a cheeseburger?
All right, listen, man. I don't mind cheese. It's not my favorite.
Okay, interesting.
I don't have to do cheese.
Like it does appear to be on the menu still.
It is? It's back?
It's on their website.
So read it to me. What does it say?
Lemon raspberry cream cheesecake. Raspberry Boom! Vanilla cake. Creamy lemon cheesecake. Raspberry lady fingers. And lemon mousse. Okay. No cheese. Sauteed mushrooms. This is the longest segment.
I love when they put the ketchup and yellow mustard on before I have to do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's their job.
No, but they don't always do that, Johnny.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so saute mushrooms, ketchup, mustard.
Yes.
That's it.
Tomatoes. Lettuce.
Okay, lettuce.
And nice pickles.
Pickles.
Oh. I need pickles.
That's it, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real simple.
Well, you say you're simple, but I'm simple. I'm a purist with it. Cheeseburger, ketchup. Done. That's it, man.
If you say I'm American. Animal style, I'll fuck come over there.
No, cheeseburger, ketchup. That's what I like. Cheeseburger, ketchup.
Ketchup.
And then you can throw some bacon on there if you want, but that's it.
That's it?
That's it, man. I love it. I don't like a lot of shit on there, man. I like the simple flavor. If the burger's good, it will stand up with cheese and ketchup.
I have no problems with what you're talking about, Johnny. Yeah. Anyway. I like it. I think it's
good. Share yours again. Share Broken Sam on Twitter at Broken Sam Show on Instagram.
So our Instagram's going and our Twitter's going.
I haven't logged in, but our Twitter is going for sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, log in. Start putting shit up.
Yeah, I will. I'm just not. That's where I have so much respect for Neff. He runs all the social for Cash Daddies, right?
No, Robin does.
Oh, Robin. Wow, okay.
Robin runs all my social media.
Wait, so who's that? It's got to be Neff, though, talking shit.
Oh, Neff's always talking.
Oh, well, he does a great job.
Neff,
he's so good.
Neff answers his own tweets.
That's so funny. Does he really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I have a lot of respect for her. I'm not inclined to do
that. Neff is like that chick who's like, I'm getting sexually harassment emails all the time.
And, it's him.
And it turned out it was her. She was sending it to herself.
Oh, dude, well, have you ever heard that story of that? Okay, so I'll just tell you the story. They find this guy, government worker, hanged by a stream in the woods, and he had Fed written on his chest in marker, and he was just hanged, and they, like, stapled shit to him or something like that.
But he's dead.
Dead, hanging, yeah, dead. And they had to find, it was a big mystery, and it revolved around he had a broken hyoid bone. Remember that bone that they talk about that in Epstein that was broken?
Yeah.
You know, which is not, it's like broken by hanging or whatever.
Yeah.
But he also had earlier fractures that had healed of the hyoid bone. And when I hear that, I'm thinking, okay, this guy has tried to hang himself before.
Jerking off.
Well, no, probably suicidal is what. It turned out, spoiler alert, that he hanged himself and wrote, and they were trying to figure out why it was written really weird on his chest. Is because he wrote it on his own chest, Fed. Oh. And tried to, I guess, get people in trouble for hating. He was like some kind of postal employee or some shit.
Well, you know what? I find that interesting. Like, to set up, like, a murder mystery when you really
did it yourself. Yeah. That's weird,
but it's
right?
So interesting because he's never going to see the fruits of it.
I know, yeah. It's like forward thinking for somebody that has no future.
Have you ever heard the story about the woman who paid the guy to kill her? Like, she wanted to feel like what it was like to get murdered, and he did it, and now he's in jail for murder. And you're like... there's an end to that. It's the end. You don't even get to go, wow, that felt kind of crazy.
That's so weird.
Right? Like, yeah. Is that weird?
I mean, I get like having a crime fantasy, you know, like a rape break-in sort of situation.
I'm
that's
surprised
your thing.
That they haven't created that kind of virtual reality.
A rape fantasy virtual reality?
No, like
a murder thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just any video game, right?
I mean, but like the feeling of it and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's not quite there yet. I was an early, early adopter. I got the DK1, the development kit for Oculus way back years and years ago when it was very simple.
And everything was like fucking
it was,
squares.
Yeah, it was like polygonal. Yeah, it was all like polygons. Like you could see big ones. And I've gotten every step of the way. I've gotten every piece of hardware they've had. And I love it, but I'm always disappointed. It's not where I think it should be.
Well, Johnny, when it gets where it should be, I think humanity's done. Like, why would you ever want to live in this?
I do think telecommuting is going to be a different thing, because you know the rumor is, and I don't even think it's rumor at this point. People know. Apple, their thing that's coming out is going to be something like glasses.
Google Glasses. They've been trying to do this forever.
Well, but that Apple's been working on it for years, and I think it's like their long term plan is to have it. They have it in the phone now. Like if you go in the latest version of the Maps app. And it may be in beta now. I'm not sure if it's released yet. But you hold the phone up like this, and it projects like your directions. Like they'll actually be on the street. Like you can look, see it like layered on. The plan is to have that like overlaid over your glasses. So like when you're driving, you'll just see, okay, I got to turn right here. Or if you're walking, even.
What are your opinions on that?
To me, that's pretty benign. Like that's harmless.
I don't even know benign.
Eat harmless. It's not that. To me, that's not nefarious. Like to me, that's. But when you start to get into shit where it's totally immersive, you know, and the there's no reality. Because to me, that's augmented reality. That's AR.
Yeah,
where it projects shit into your world.
For sure.
And that keeps you grounded. You're still in the real world. But when you talk about VR, where you're living a whole different experience, and you're not leaving your house, and probably not even your chair in some cases, that's dangerous.
I do agree with
and
that.
And seductive. You ever heard of the book Infinite Jest?
No.
It's David Foster Wallace, brilliant guy. Remember I sent you that commencement speech? This is water. Remember that? This is water thing?
Yeah.
You don't? Okay.
I do.
Okay.
And I was moved. I think I almost cried.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway, he's the author. He wrote this book, Infinite Jest. And the book, it's massive, dude. Nobody ever finishes reading it. It's like 1,000 pages or something. Hold on. It is 1,079 pages. And it's about this piece of entertainment. I think it's like a film or something, and that is so seductive that when you watch it, it just consumes your life, and it's like all consuming, like because they're getting better and better. It's an alternative warped future where advertising and TV is all so seductive that you just can't escape it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what we're coming, dude. He's really
Instagram
that,
is a lot like that, it right? Is,
yes, that's what he a couldn't lot. Quite see over the hill to what it was, but he was on the right line. And that's, dude, that's what. Think about when you were going to pull Instagram into virtual reality.
100%.
So you're going to have like five people out there living life and doing things, probably not even for real, like videoing shit in VR on the beach or you know fucking their chick or whatever. And then there's going to be a million other people living that with their glasses on, not leaving their house.
Yeah, and then next scary, thing you know, dude. You live in a pod like the Matrix.
The Matrix, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Johnny, let me finish scary, my man. Story.
What story?
About going to San Diego.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about the traffic.
So, yeah, it's not done. I literally...
Sorry.
Johnny, I literally got fatter as I was driving. I could feel...
What are you talking about?
I'm not lying to you. I was getting fatter... I could feel the belt start to, as I was going, my gut expanding like Dr. Doolittle.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm dead serious. By the end of the trip, I had to undo the belt, undo my pants, and just let the Kraken out.
That's just shit moving around. And dude, you didn't get fat. So dumb.
I got fatter.
That's hilarious.
I got fatter. And, dude, I was like, if I got pulled over right now and a cop was right there, it would be look like I was jerking off in my car.
That's were you alone or were you with someone?
I was alone.
You ever jerk off in the car?
Yeah.
Of course you
have. I did drugs. You're sex addict. Yeah.
Okay. That's hilarious. Dude, I've been depressed before, like in college or maybe, after college, where I stayed in an apartment like for so long and wore the same sweatpants every day that I grew out of them. I've done that before, so I can relate to that.
Well, I mean,
have you ever done that where you wear the same clothes and then you just get so fat that you can't wear them anymore? I've done that.
Hold on.
Yeah, what's up? If you want to go behind the scenes here, we're having some problems with our booking tinfoil hat. We had a guest scheduled that wasn't quite able to make it, and then for very good reasons, and we're working on booking.
So Johnny,
booking it.
So.
So you're so fat. Your metabolism is so slow that you gain weight while driving in a 4-hour journey.
100%, Johnny. 100%.
You got to start wearing stretchy jeans.
Maybe, dude. So, you know, whenever I fly, Johnny, I've talked about this before. You know, this doesn't happen as much now because I'm blessed I have a little following now. But back in the day, I had no following. And I would show up. People like, dude, it's not your fault, bro. It's not your fault. You know, because I used to think. Cause
wait,
I,
well, I don't. You,
so let me explain. I used to think because I was at the Comedy Store.
What's not that your would? Fault?
Let me explain. Okay. That would reverberate through the country, and people be like, "Oh, dude, you're a Comedy Store comic. I gotta come see you." I didn't. It just wasn't true. So I would show
like
up
going
places,
on Carson or something.
Like I would show up to places, and nobody would be there. Mm-hmm. And you know.
And God knows you put all your credits on your flyers. It's like International time. Bad Boys Hour was on there for years after.
Everything. I just, anything to get anybody to listen to me.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So I would show up to places and it would be empty. And I'm like, oh, I'd be so depressed.
That and has to be tough.
Yeah. And the staff would always feel for me. And they would just give you excuses.
That's like, almost worse, right?
They're like, dude, it's not your fault, bro.
Is that worse? Is that worse?
It's the pumpkin festival.
The pumpkin
the pumpkin festival's in town. And it's this big festival. Everybody here goes to it. Chicks get naked in the pumpkin patch, and it's a lot of fun. Everybody loves it.
How are you going to compete with that?
You're like, that's why nobody's here. It's not your fault.
Pumpkins and titties. How are you going
to
compete?
Pumpkin and titties. How are you supposed to compete with pumpkin and titties, dude? Right? So, and that's what happened to me in Alaska. Like, I had a pretty good turnout in Anchorage. But Wasala wasn't bad. The guy before me, like, dude, you sold out like that. Great comic. I'm like, okay. He's like, it's not really your fault. This is first week of salmon fishing.
Where else in this
in
country?
In Wasala. Where is
Wasilla, right? That's where Sarah Palin's from.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So the locals were telling me about that whole thing about helicopters and wolves. Why it was completely blown out of proportion.
Well, she was talking about shooting wolves from helicopters.
From helicopters. Yeah. Because there's no roads in a lot of the area. So you can't get to it. And if you don't deal with the wolf population, they'll eat all the animals.
So
and there's
coyotes,
indigenous
yeah.
people that still live in the forest out there that need those animals to eat. So it's like, what do you do? I mean,
you kill
like
the wolves. Yeah,
eat the wolf, right?
We do it with coyotes, man. You have to kill them because it's funny. Rogan tells this thing that apparently coyotes, though, you kill them, right? And when you know how they howl at night, and they're kind of checking in with each other, like, and if there are fewer howls at night, the females have bigger litters. So if you kill them, the females just have more pups to replace the ones that died. So you can't ever, it's like impossible to get the population of coyotes down.
Dude, have you ever seen like when, like, did I tell you the time that I saw the coyote? Did we already talk about that?
I don't know. I've seen them all around LA.
Dude, I was having a conversation with somebody on the phone and it was at the bottom of this parking structure I was at.
In LA?
Yeah. And it just walked by me and we both kind of stared at each other going, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this?
Same thing happened to me, dude. I you know my apartment? Like, you've been there.
Yeah.
That gate. That's how I was walking out of that gate, and one was walking up the sidewalk across a big ass, the biggest coyote I've ever seen. Well-fed. You could tell he's eating trash. Walking right across.
Or he's eating pets.
Pets. They eat pets, too. Yeah, he didn't even look at me. Like, he couldn't give a shit, dude. He just trotted right by. And I've seen them all around LA.
Dude, yeah. I've seen them running in packs up and down hills. I was going over a hill and the whole pack was in front of me. I'm like, I could hit all these and save a bunch of dogs.
Remember that movie Collateral, that Tom Cruise movie? That's where I first found out LA has coyotes.
It's scary,
some
dude.
Good scenes. Yeah, they're scary. Yeah.
So
I hit one with a car one time. Fucked up my car.
It?
Really, it fucked my car up real good. Yeah,
I'm sure.
Hurt.
I mean, they're big dogs, man.
Yeah, they're big.
So I'm on this flight, dude. The woman before me has like four kids. She's great. They're great. The dad is a nice guy. He's dealing with it. So I get up to walk around. I come back, and she's breastfeeding.
Where do you walk? I don't understand this.
I just walk up and down the aisle.
You don't go to the bathroom or anything? Just walk.
Sometimes I'll go to the bathroom. I'll go to the bathroom up front.
And nobody's like, can I help you? Like, what are you doing?
Nah, dude.
It's supposed to be good for you to get up and move around. But
real G's move in silence, bro.
I just have no interest in
understand
it.
That.
I sleep the whole time.
I try to plan my flight. By when I want to get up.
Yeah.
I mean, I plan my sleeping the night before on, do I want to sleep on the plane? And the answer is always yes. I consider that time travel.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Dude, well, I know you can't, but I in the past have taken Xanax. It is literally like time travel. Even if you're awake, because I lose time on Xanax. Like, I don't know. I'll be sitting somewhere and I'll be like, wait a minute, I've been here for an hour. What did I do for the last hour? And I have no memory of it. It's kind of scary.
Yep.
But if you sleep on it, like on an airplane, it is like time travel.
Yep. 100%, dude. I'll go boom. And then this chick next to me, because I slept a lot of the plane, she's like, we should have sat in different seats. I'm like, nope, not happening.
What do you mean? Why did she say that?
Because she wanted to get up and pee, and she's like, I didn't want to wake you up. I wanted to get up and use
the
bathroom.
That's kind of passive-aggressive to say that.
Of course. But she was hot, so I let go.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, I get up, I do some more, I come back, and the mother is breastfeeding, and I can see big old titties.
Great.
And I don't care.
High five.
I don't care, dude. I'm staring at some titties. I'm staring at titties, and I'm taking my time. I'm like, those are titties, dude. I don't care how old you are. Titties are great.
My girlfriend hates it, dude. She hates
breastfeeding?
No, hates it. I have that, too. I mean, all guys, even if it's the weirdest, ugliest woman on the planet, and she's got her tits, we're going to look.
Yeah, I mean, homeless tits?
Yeah.
Well, see, I can get into something about that as well. I am in a place,
homeless
bro.
Homeless tits, please. Yeah.
Where, no. I'm blind, dude. Like, if I don't have this on, I'm not... I'm like...
Oh, me too, brother, right? Without my glasses, I can't
see
a damn thing.
Bro, I can see an ass from 3 blocks away.
What do you mean? Without glasses?
I can see a woman's ass from 3 blocks away. Like, I suddenly become Hawkeye. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't see anything, but an ass walking in, like, tight jean shorts or yoga pants. I'm like, boom. Bang! I get that weird scope on it. Bang! And I can scope it from ever. Dude, I'll drive around, Johnny, a couple blocks, a couple times just to stare at a girl's ass. That's how Neanderthal I am.
I say I'm a face guy. I'm a face guy. Like, face is first for me.
Okay, that's fine. But an ass
is great.
No, but
what are you, though? I'm asking. What is your thing?
I mean, like, listen, dude. What are we talking about? Are we talking about
you're an ass guy or
are we
guy?
Talking about hit it?
What do you find most like appealing? Like what turns you on first? What do you notice first about a woman that physically, not their personality?
Well, I mean,
think that women's personality is the most important factor. Leave me alone.
Says what?
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this to you. Everybody loves a face. Faces are cute. That's great. Yeah. I'm very much into ass. I would go face 1A. Ass 1B.
Interesting. Okay.
Tits 3.
What? Well, tits would be 2 in that situation.
No, it's the third.
What's second?
1A, 1B.
Yeah, but that means 1. You mean 2 then. 1, that means they're both tied for first.
Yes.
And then there has to be a second after that.
Well, it would actually be third.
Third? Okay.
That's my opinion.
Interesting. All right.
So, titties. So I'm staring at this titty. I come back. I sit down. She's right in front of me. I can kind of cop a little bit. But then the baby catches my eyes.
Oh, that's weird.
And starts staring at me, and I'm staring at it. And it kind of, oh.
What the fuck are you looking at here, bro?
Right? And then it starts staring at me. And because I love children, I start kind of entertaining the kid. Right? I'm like, da, da, da. And the kid's just staring at me, laughing. And I'm kind of... But now it's going on for a couple minutes, and I'm feeling some pressure to entertain this child.
does the mom know?
No.
Is she still breastfeeding when this is
No, she's done. Okay. She's closed down the gas station, shut it up, buttoned up, and the kid is just staring at me quietly. And now I'm like 5 minutes into this entertainment, and I'm like, okay.
You're not a physical guy, yeah. You're not like Steve Martin up there.
I'd like to move on with my life.
Going through all your crowd work, just running out.
Yeah, the baby's like, Then I start to stop, and it looks like it's about to cry. So I start entertaining again, and I'm like 10 minutes in to entertaining this kid. I am now trapped entertaining this child.
How old is it?
6 months, maybe.
Are you sure you're entertaining it, or is it just like asleep with its eyes
open?
No,
it's staring right at me.
Okay.
At me, and I...
But it's probably terrified. It's like, why is this guy making... That's pretty scary, honestly, the faces you're making.
Well, Johnny, I can read the room, asshole.
Yeah, but it's a baby, dude. They don't give you anything.
Johnny, I know when I'm entertaining. I know when I'm not.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
It took... I had to entertain this thing for like 15 minutes.
Tough crowd, sounds like.
Okay.
Is that the end of the flight?
Well, yeah, titties? You ruined the story, John.
I ruined that story. Yeah, yeah, that great story that ended with you.
So let's get into some stuff real quick. Yeah, I entertained the baby for a while, Johnny, and I felt trapped and under pressure to keep this kid entertained. Thank you.
Good job. Good job by you.
So I go to Alaska. I do a show, Kill Cooch Charlie, and it's a lot of fun.
What's it called?
Chill Cooch Charlie.
That's a cool name.
It is, and it's a fun place, and it's great, and the people in Alaska are wonderful. They're wonderful people. It's a really good, like, the problem is stuff's a little expensive there because you got to ship it there, right?
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
But it's great. It's a wonderful place.
Everything except, like, wolf pelts, which you can get for 50 cents.
Yeah. Because Sarah Palin's just killing them. So I go up there. The first night's fun. There's this local comic. I'm really bad at names, but he's always doing my shows. He's really funny. He's a great writer.
You mean when you're in Alaska?
Yeah, he's done, like, a bunch of them. I didn't book him, but the club does. I'm happy because he's super funny. And then they had this tiny person. She's a tiny, like, she literally
like a little person?
Like, no.
Or just short?
She was like a tiny Natasha Leggero. You know how tiny Tasha is?
I've never been in the same room with her now.
She's like a small person.
Is she?
Her her joke's about how she's tiny. She's like,
her and Ari would have been funny to look at.
She looks like a kid. Right? So supposedly she's a twin.
Wait, Natasha or the little person?
The little person.
Okay.
Her and her sister are twins.
You gotta work that into the act. Right.
She does work. She works in about how she, like, they'll bring, every time she goes to the restaurant, they bring her, like, something to draw with. And then she'll order, like, a cocktail and watch people's heads explode.
Missing an opportunity here. She just should do magic tricks. Did you know all those, did we talk about that? All the teleportation stuff you see in magic, it's all twins, apparently. It's just all twins. Like, if you are a twin, you can get a career in magic just by, you know, appearing in different places and stuff.
Wow.
Like David Copperfield will hold a pillowcase in front of you, and then you appear across the room somewhere.
Wow.
Like, that's how they do it, twins.
Johnny, why you ruin magic for everybody?
I love Penn & Teller, and I sat in the first row one time in Vegas.
I know.
And saw how they did a lot of it, and it ruined it for me, yeah. Never sit on the
first
row.
So anyways, Johnny, so she's great. Then the next comic went up. She's great, and she looks like every progressive person, but she was very cool. She was like an Alaskan progressive is a pretty moderate human being, right? Like, they're pretty laid back. It's like very hard to be like a crazy progressive up there. It's just impossible.
It seems like they probably just have better priorities in Alaska because they're so close to nature.
So I said that, like, the host looked like a pedophile, and the middle looked like the kid that he molested, and then the last comic looks like the progressive who Me Too's the pedophile. And then I went up, it went great. Both shows are great. All the comics killed. So then the next night, I'm in Wasilla, and this is Sarah Palin's place, and it's at this high-end resort.
Oh, really?
So high-end. There was a $109 steak.
Wow.
I got it.
Tomahawk ribeye, I think you said, right?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Bone in.
It was tomahawk. Good. I had a great time. I loved it. Had fun.
I love tomahawk.
I told the guy that was there, I'm like, I got the $109 steak. He's like, oh, which means he would have to explain to the place why the comic who was supposed to eat for free just ordered the $109.
Oh, did you really?
I paid for it.
Did he really go like, oh, that's so funny? No,
I saw him go.
Oh, really?
I'm like, don't worry, I'm paying for it. I paid for
that's
it.
That's so funny, dude. They're probably used to comics doing the show.
Well, like, you know, because, like, you'll go to a comedy club, right? And you go to, like, a comedy show in a restaurant the first week, and they'll be like, yeah, free food and booze. I'm like, this will last 2 weeks until some scumbag will come in here and set the high score, and they'll get rid of it.
It was when we went to ATC Festival 1 year, me, Jason, and Ari, our passes were supposed to get us free food at this really nice restaurant. And so we all ordered, like, a lot of shit. And then at the end of it, Ari was like, so is this going to be free? And he says, I'm not going to do Ari because it's hard to do for me. He said, if you ask the waiter if it's free, if it's not free, I'll pay for it. Is what he was that embarrassed about asking the waiter if it was free. And of course, and it was free. And we just ate all every day. We just ate so much food there. And we were the guys who set the
high
score.
Was that the before after Jason made out with the...
That would have been before
the desert lizard person.
Our buddy Jason, who was on the episode a couple weeks ago. He hooked up with somebody.
Some meth head chick.
Like somebody from The Hills Have Eyes, basically.
Some desert meth rat.
Yeah.
And it's like, it sucks because I feel for her. She's in her addiction.
You feel for him? I feel for Jason.
I felt for her and him. I felt bad for Jason because Jason was in his.
I feel bad for all of us who have to look at what happened with the thing.
And then Jason go, I didn't fuck her. I ate her pussy. I'm like, that's worse.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
That's worse.
Oh, that was terrible.
So I do this show, Johnny, and I show up. It's at this really nice resort. I mean, it's such a nice resort. So I go up there and I do a show. They have a local female comic who's a wonderful person. And then they have a black gay comic featuring for me. And he's a wonderful person. So
how do you know he's a wonderful person?
Well, let's get into this. So I start doing, I show up before the show. I always like to meet the local comics and talk to them. Mm-hmm. I have a real issue in my life, Johnny. I have to be loved. All the time I've done stand-up early on, I was just treated by like shit by comedy clubs and everybody. So I have this real need to be liked. So I always have to walk around, hey, how's it going? I'm a people pleaser, right? So I start talking to this guy. He starts talking to me. He's like, yeah, me and my boyfriend are thinking about moving. I'm like, imagine being gay in Alaska. That's got to be a crazy thing, right?
First of all,
you got a small pool, right? How many gay...
Although you say he's black, right? So there's probably people, white guys, falling over themselves to get to him. He's the only black guy in Alaska.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of black people, obviously. So... We're talking. Whenever I meet young comics, I always want to give them like my the things I did to help me change my career and kind of get me financially secure. Now I'll jump right into it. What are you doing?
It's good karma,
right? I just try to help people by showing them what I did. What was freely given to me, I give away.
The things you wish you'd been told earlier,
right? Yeah. So I go.
I didn't get any of this text, but
I just sent it.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Okay,
I finally just got one now.
Okay. So I go, he does his set, right? He starts off almost saying how, in his act, he goes, I am.
This is a feature?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the first show he features. Mm-hmm. So then the first show, I go up, I do my act. Of course, I'm making fun of everything and everybody. You know, because my new special is going to be called No Lives Matter, right? That's
why. Wait, I thought it was...
I changed it again.
You changed it again?
Yes, it is now called No Lives Matter.
AKA the other thing or just No Lives Matter?
No Lives Matter.
So you sacked up and went with No Lives Matter, right?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you. So I'm going to do No Lives Matter because I don't think anybody should be immune from being made fun of.
I'm glad you're doing that. That's the better name.
So I go off. I get off stage, you know, because I got bits about BLM burning down stores, George Floyd jokes. I mean, I'm making fun of everybody. I get off stage. The energy is awful. He doesn't like
me. With him. Okay.
Yeah. He's angry. I'm trying to like just make small talk. Every time I come in the room, he fucking prances out to the another room, right? And I'm trying to talk to people. I'm like, is there an issue? And nobody ever wants to tell me what's going on, right? And this has happened to me in Wisconsin too. I had a female feature from Chicago who was bombing all weekend. I tried to talk to her. I go, you know, you might want to try this. She's like, and I told you the story. She's like, how about I try some racist homophobic material? How about that?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I go, you should try anything. You should try burning a cross on stage because it would go better than what you're doing right now. You're bombing.
It's so funny.
Okay. So he now wants to go up early. He doesn't want a feature. He now wants to go up first. So the girl who is opening is now the feature.
So he doesn't have to bring you up?
So he doesn't have to be there any longer.
Okay.
He goes up. He starts talking about how... Prestia's, you know, he's both black and gay. And then he proceeds to talk about his asshole for 15 minutes. 15 minutes.
What about his asshole?
He's talking about his butthole.
Just like gay problems with the butthole?
Yeah, gay, in, men in, out.
Relatable stuff.
Yeah, you know, what? But I don't care what you do for your 15 minutes. Don't talk about how you're oppressed while you're talking about your butthole for 15 minutes. Right? Because to me, it's like oppressed people don't get the luxury of talking about their asshole in front of people for 15 minutes.
And like a captive audience that has to sit there and listen to you talk about bunk.
And sometimes, even when there's only like 40 people in the crowd, they're still all my fans. Because whatever happened to
How'd he do? I didn't even think about that.
My fans are open-minded to everybody.
So they're okay with it.
They'll laugh at everything. But after a while, you're like, we've heard about your asshole.
Yeah, we get it, bro.
It's like female comics talking about their pussy the whole time. You can talk about your pussy. We just want to hear what else you got going on in your life instead of your fucking prison wallet.
My body doesn't define me. I mean, except when I'm doing comedy. And then that's all I talk about.
I talk about male patriarchy, and then all I talk about is dicks in my freaking vagina.
I'm not a woman. I'm a person, but I'm going to talk about woman problems for the rest of my life, basically.
Right.
Shut up.
Right.
Go.
Right.
Go.
Right.
Just kidding.
So the whole time. And it's just like, if I went up and talked about my dick or my nipples.
Surprised he doesn't have a Netflix special.
But it's like, it's 15 minutes. Like, where do we go from just like accepting somebody for who they are to now I have to hear graphically about what you do on any level?
Well, so, I mean, even if he was,
it's not like, to say he's gay it's a woman. It's like if a guy,
it's like it's the dick joke equivalent. I mean, it's just low. It's like starter stuff, you know, like,
but the whole time, like if you go to a comic, a straight white male comic, and he does dick jokes the whole time, you're like, come on, dude. It's like, give me levels here. And like, and so just to point it out becomes, oh, you're lazy. I mean, you're a hate monger, which brings us to this Seth Simon thing, right? You know, or what's her name? The lady, the gymnast lady.
Simone Biles.
Yeah, right? So word came out yesterday, she has pulled herself out of
group competition,
and now she's pulled herself out of the
individual
as well.
She went out, she didn't do quite as well as she normally does. Then it came out that she pulled herself out, not because she was injured, but for mental health reasons. And then she proceeded to just stand around, laugh and smile and cheer on her teammates.
Right.
And people are bending over backwards to make excuses for her and say she's courageous for doing this and we should all be more like her.
Okay, so what's your take, Johnny?
Well, I mean, we can't on one hand celebrate Mary Lou Retton for going out there with an injured ankle, you know, and finishing her routine. And we can't on one hand criticize people for doing game management in the NBA, load management, sorry, in the NBA and guys for, you know, taking off too much time in the offseason, not committing to their craft. And then on the other hand, celebrate this shit, man. This is just weak, weak-minded, if you ask me. And I'm sorry to say, if she's like depressed and suicidal or something, if that comes out, that's one thing. But she didn't look it.
Well, she's done this before, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, if
Johnny, there's nothing courageous about this, though. End of story.
And that is the real issue I have with this, okay? There's
the opposite of courageous.
Okay. It's just like, if you mentally are like, I'm shish kebab, I can't do this, and you don't proceed to go to the Olympics, and you're like, I'm mentally not okay right now, I can't do this. And like, okay, if people have called in sick because something's off, right? People gigs, it's fine. Once you're there, there is a commitment to compete.
Yeah. to your teammates, to your country in this case. I mean,
yeah, and even if like people, oh, you to your country, you get all the black pill people, right? They're really like,
well, yeah, I don't, right? I mean, I'm with them, honestly.
But it is the truth. It's not just, it's like you took somebody's spot to get there.
Somebody who desperately wanted
so
it.
So then there is the woman who's the tennis player who's pulled out because she didn't want to answer press questions. And then she pulled out some, I think, Wimbledon and a couple other majors.
I don't know about that.
Who she's had mental quote unquote issues. She went there and lost in the first round. That to me is 10 times more admirable than to pull out because you're not mentally there. You completely have the right to not want to compete because mentally you're not there. To pull out and blame it on mental issues and then be lulled as some superhero to me is completely wrong. I mean, so let's go back to Scottie Pippen. Right? He gets told he's not taking the final shot. He doesn't go in and play. Is he not performing because of mental health?
Yeah, he was too mentally ashamed to take the floor. So
he's
a hero.
When Roberto Duran says no mas, and can't get off the stool, is that for mental health?
He's a hero. Courageous.
Okay. To be able to quit your job in mid work because of your mental state and your mental health, that is privilege. Okay. Now, has she earned privilege? Yes. She's considered one of the greatest to ever do it. She can, in my opinion, can no longer be the GOAT. You cannot be the GOAT.
Can you imagine Jordan doing something like that? I mean, fuck off.
Right?
I mean, like, hey, I got a headache. I don't think I can go.
Well, I mean, Jordan did stop playing for 3 years because he said he was mentally exhausted, right?
Yeah, but not when he already showed up to a game in the middle of the playoffs or something like that. The biggest game of the year. Yeah.
Right?
This is a guy who's played through all kinds of illnesses. I mean, the flu game, the hangover game, whatever it is. You know, he's played with injuries that we know about.
Right.
Ankle problems, knee
100%.
Problems.
100%. So what are you doing, man? It's like you are quitting on your team. Please tell me the difference between I can't go on because of mental health and quitting. What is the difference?
There's no difference. Yeah.
There is no difference. Yeah. And now you got a bunch of progressives in the mainstream media blasting quote-unquote white guys.
It's not even progressives. That's the problem.
Because they're giving this woman shit. What's her name?
Simone Biles. CNN had the bottom line was white male talking heads criticized Simone Biles.
And it's just so funny because, like, how is that not racist to say that?
It is, of course. It is.
Like, how is that acceptable? How is that not the laziest take you possibly could have?
No, it's what they accuse the other side of doing. 100%. It's exactly that.
100%. Yeah. It's 100%.
And most of the takes they showed were just pretty reasonable, honestly. Like the thing Gottlieb said was, Gottlieb, I know you don't like LeBron, but he was saying, how can we criticize LeBron for taking his little mental health breaks and we can't criticize her for this, you know?
100%.
He's right.
And LeBron should get shit too.
Yeah.
And I hate to tell you, so should Kawhi Leonard. And he's my favorite Clipper. He's the greatest Clipper of all time. Yeah. And he should take time off. Because what did he do? He took 2 weeks off before the playoffs to say I was going to gear in for the playoffs. And then he got hurt and he couldn't play. So the whole, like, I had load management thing didn't fucking work.
Yeah, it's all, I think, I mean, not to get too far in the weeds on that, but I think with him especially, it's in his head because he's, he's had injuries, and they kind of, I think they are stuck in his head, you know, like that he might get injured.
The notion that you got to, are you 100%?
That's it.
Is ridiculous. And the whole thing has always been, dude, we're getting ready for, you know, it's all about the playoffs for me.
And you hear about Jordan say, like, I think I'm pretty sure he said that he's never been at 100% for playoffs. I mean, ever. By the end of the season, it was just trying to get back to like 80, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So
I mean, remember his dead legs in that in the last game he played in it for the Bulls? You know, yeah. I mean, his legs were dead. He could barely, he wasn't even getting any lift on his shots, and he was still managing to.
So to I get really mad when anybody's like, "Oh, how can Hollywood people how can people in entertainment have a political opinion?" Oh, but the plumber can, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like everybody's different. So there was a tweet today by this woman goes, "You have no clue the pressure that's on a professional athlete. You have no clue
talking
the pressure we got to go
talking
through."
Talking about Biles?
Well, she in reference to that. And I go, "You have no clue the pressure to be a regular human being who had to give up playing kids' sports, the sport that children play, to go do a regular job that you have to show up every day for, even when you're mentally broken, because they can replace you."
They will replace you, yeah.
Right? And that's where we're at. So now we go to this, the women's soccer team, and you that when we kind of talked about it on Tinfoil Hat, but it's like that Rapone woman, right? Is that her name?
Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe, right? Like, she's now criticizing the press for covering the women's soccer team's loss. And it's like,
they want a double standard. That's
there
what
is
they want.
An old saying, Johnny goes, "Watch when giving someone special treatment, they think equal treatment is disrespectful."
Yeah.
And that's really what she's talking about.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, totally. They're so hard on the men, dude. The media is so hard on the men's
they
team.
They lost to France. They lit everybody up. The Popovich.
Oh, you're talking about basketball. Yeah, the basketball too. I was talking about the soccer team. But yeah, basketball is getting destroyed right now.
Popovich's career is being analyzed right now on whether he was actually a great coach or did he have two superstars that carried him.
And I mean, can you imagine them having they handle the women's soccer team with kid gloves, dude?
Yeah.
Kid gloves.
Yeah, but I will tell you what, I love the Olympics. The weirder the sports, the better.
I'm not really into summer. I like the Winter Olympics much better.
All right. Johnny, what are you got any stories for us?
Yeah, this is my favorite this week, and you're gonna love this, dude. This is from Rolling Stone. Meet the Doms, D-O-M-M-E-S, female. Meet the Doms who are demanding their submissives get vaxxed. Get vaccines. Here's the subhead, the little tag here. "I specialize in toilet play, and I can't do it with people who are unvaccinated," said one Dom, requiring proof of vaccination for dungeon entry.
Oh my God.
I'm not taking your piss in my mouth.
World. It's a clown world.
You're not peeing on me, buddy, if you don't have that vaccine.
No, she pees on them.
Oh, she pees on them. Okay.
She will not pee on them.
Oh, yeah, she's dumb. Yeah, of course. Okay.
Because they're unvaccinated. That is some idiocracy shit, right?
I don't know if these are the women, but here's just a photo of that goes along. Look at these young ladies here. Sam, you see these young ladies. What is she doing on the left there? What is that? "I give you the gift of collars."
We've already done some Dom stuff. I have a lot of friends in the Dom community, but nobody takes themselves more serious than the Dom community.
Oh, don't they?
I mean, I love them to death, but they are way too sensitive and take themselves way too serious.
They think they're oppressed or something. It's really interesting.
It's just like, and they're so sensitive to any criticism or laughter about what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet they do bizarro stupid shit like this.
When the COVID-19 vaccine came out earlier this year, Bob, who also goes by the name Manish Boy, was on the fence about getting it. He was wary about the speed at which the vaccine came to market, and he'd heard... Sounds pretty reasonable so far. And he'd heard about preliminary data suggesting the AstraZeneca vaccine in Europe had a rare side effect inducing blood clots, which made him anxious. "I think I had the same reservations that many people had," said Bob, or Manish Boy. I think I'm going to call him Manish Boy, who requested that his last name be withheld to protect his privacy. Then Bob saw a tweet from goddess Alexandra Snow, a professional dominatrix and dungeon owner who operates Wicked Eden, a BDSM collective in Columbus, Ohio. The tweet stated that any submissives who wanted to session with Snow in person would have to show proof of vaccination. Bob had been subscribing to Goddess Snow's OnlyFans and tributing her, giving her money, for almost 2 years, and he got in touch with her to discuss whether or not he should get the vaccine. It was less about convincing me and more about her confirming to me that it was the right thing to do. He got his final shot 3 weeks ago. So these women, and let's just see Alexandra Snow here. This is Goddess Alexandra Snow. Yeah, she's the one that gives us the gift of collars.
Oh, how many followers she have, by the way?
Oh, let's see.
63,000.
63K, wow.
Not bad. Not popular. Bad.
Dude, how much money do you think this chick makes? Just guys sending her money.
Get up every morning determined both to change the world and have one hell of a good time.
Big Hillary Clinton fan, apparently.
Yeah, unbelievable. Oh, what'd she do? Oh, Johnny.
Oh, she's pegging.
We can't watch this, Johnny. Oh, this is illegal.
Oh, God.
Like, you know, pegging.
What is this?
Total pegging mindfuck. Let me ask you something, Johnny.
Oh, God.
Is it that these guys just don't want to be gay? Do you think that's it?
I think.
Is pegging just like, I'm not man enough to come out as gay?
I think it might be guys who aren't gay, but they want to be totally owned, like dominated by a woman, and that's just
so. Like, it is the butthole. But some truly of that too. Is the like the power source, huh?
Well, I mean, there's no, yeah. You if you have fucked somebody in the ass, you dominated them, like, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like
for sure.
I mean, aliens work it. Right? I mean, everything's about your butthole.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
What is that? Why is that?
Here's what the Dom says. I've had at least a dozen subs who have said, if this is what I have to do to see you, I'll do it.
Oh, my. Don't you feel bad about that?
I do. Yeah, I do. Okay. Anyway, I knew you would love that one. This is kind of funny.
Dude, when the zombie apocalypse happens, that chick is fucked. She's fucked.
She has no valuable skills.
She has none. Yeah. What are you going to do during the zombie apocalypse?
Throw your dildo at him, I guess. Yeah.
What are you going to start pegging zombies?
Eat this. Leave me alone. Yeah. Okay. This is from the Law and Crime blog. A bullet in your compromised satanic skull. That's a quote. Maryland man charged with sending twisted death threats to Anthony Fauci.
I mean, dude, what's that, man? Like, I'm so tired of everybody complaining about death threats. Like, I get them all the time. I get them all the time. Like, it's part of the internet. I'm sorry, man. I mean, people are like, oh, my God. Yeah. Welcome to the internet. Welcome to Twitter, Instagram, email. Happens all the time. Dr. Fauci's crying like a baby.
This guy, according to unsealed FBI affidavits containing screenshots of twisted messages, FBI. Prosecutors claim this guy Connolly sent Fauci and Francis Collins, who's like a big time Christian guy, the current director of the National Institute of Health. He sent them this message: every time I see your sickening elf visage, I literally get sick. You are a lying sack of shit, all the way back to your bullshit HIV scam. You are a sickening, compromised, satanic Freemason criminal, and I hope you get a rope around your vile elf neck and a bullet in your disgusting elf face tonight. Hope someone takes a baseball bat to your dirty, lying elf skull and puts you out of your misery, you sickening, vile piece of criminal dog shit.
How do you not laugh at that?
All of that was in caps, by the way, that last part. I should have probably read that a little bit
louder. Well, you know, I'm not a Fauci fan, and who knows if that's even real. And the guy's caused a lot of pain and suffering to the world. And
what do you mean it's not real? I saw a screenshot, though.
Yeah, right. I mean, the FBI is having a bad week, right? A bad month.
They're having some bad
They're just having a bad month.
Right, hold on, I'm waiting for the ad to play. A man is accused of going on a fatal hit-and-run spree in the Philadelphia area. He was arrested Wednesday in the suburb of Collegeville, according to ABC. Officers say 911 calls rolled in around 2:11 a.m. regarding a Chevy Malibu rear-ending a motorcycle at Broad and Lombard in Philadelphia. Here's the video. Okay, let me get this. You seeing this? Look at this guy. He apparently hit a woman and then came back to hit her again. Oh, here he goes. Oh, look, he's going for those people over there. See him? He's running up on the sidewalk.
Oh, my God!
Wow.
Oh, my God!
I don't know what that is. Yeah, so this guy's just going around running over people.
Oh, my God, dude. That's crazy, dude.
The situation became tragic at nearby 15th and South. The Malibu driver allegedly took his vehicle on the sidewalk.
Oh, my God.
And ran over a 32-year-old woman who had just left the restaurant with her male coworker. The male coworker, who was walking with a bicycle, managed to just get out of the way, though the Malibu brushed his leg. The driver drove off and returned to run over that woman a second time, police said.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, dude, it's like, yeah, man, there's a crazy. So are we going to start banning cars now?
Yeah, isn't that? Yeah, we have to, yeah.
Guys, we got to ban cars. We got crazy people using cars.
Yeah, because, I mean, having a license didn't work, you know?
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, dude. LA's, so ridiculous.
You know, you addressed it briefly earlier. The LA homeless problem is major. This is from Channel 4, NBC. LA's homeless housing now costs more than some luxury condos. That's the headline.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
What does that mean?
The price tag for some of Los Angeles' housing for the homeless is expected to hit a whopping $746,000 per unit, far more than the cost of building some luxury high-rise condos in downtown.
So these people are just jacking the city for housing?
According to an audit released Wednesday by the LA City Controller, Ron Galperin, and this is what Galperin told NBC4. It is not acceptable to me, nor should it be acceptable to any of the people of Los Angeles. Galperin's audit examines the use of $1.2 billion of Prop Triple H money, overwhelmingly approved by voters in 2016.
Unbelievable.
Prop Triple H tax dollars were intended to, quote, facilitate the development of up to 10,000 units of housing for LA's homeless. 4 years later, only 228 units have been built, and the cost per unit to the taxpayers keeps rising, and construction on some projects is behind. This is why big government doesn't work right here.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Even at the LA level, the city government has gotten so big that they can't do anything. They can't even build housing. I mean, one of the simplest things that they should be able to do easily. There's so much red tape.
Ugh.
I mean, think about what $700,000 get you in some states. Like where I'm from, dude, that will get you a dope house, a mansion.
Yeah.
Big house.
It's just, dude, honestly, these bureaucrats are just, there's so much greed going on right now. There's so much greed. And like people could just help people and they don't. And it sucks.
You know, we talked about privately how much pressure is on people now to get this vaccine. And I told you what I think is it's because there's so much negative evidence coming out about the vaccine that the propaganda on the other side now is having to be ramped up to kind of meet it. This is another example of that. This is in Baton Rouge. A Baton Rouge judge is reportedly allowing vaccines in lieu of community service. So people who are sentenced to community service now are just being, okay, you get the shot. And that,
I mean, how do you
that.
Not see that there's something else at work?
19th Circuit Judge Fred Crefassi is reportedly offering offenders an alternative to completing their community service hours. Get vaccinated. Attorney Ashley Greenhouse said Crefassi gave her client the opportunity to get fully vaccinated in place of finishing his last hours of court-ordered community service. He was like, if you show me, we'll reset the matter. If you come back and show me you're double vaccinated, fully vaccinated, then I will give you credit for those remaining hours.
Oh, gross.
Isn't that crazy? It's just another example.
How do not people think there's something up with that?
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, what's the incentives here? All right, that one's not too good. Oh, did you, so Martin Shkreli, you know, that piece of shit, the guy who tried to sell, like, those drugs for a lot of money.
Yeah.
He sold that, well, let me just read this story. This is from New York, AP. You know how he has that Wu-Tang Clan album, the unreleased Wu-Tang Clan album? An unreleased Wu-Tang Clan album forfeited by Martin Shkreli after his securities fraud conviction was sold Tuesday for an undisclosed sum, though prosecutors say it was enough to fully satisfy the rest of what he owed on a $7.4 million forfeiture order he faced. So that album sold for more than $7.4 million. We know that. Isn't that crazy?
That is nuts.
The entrepreneur known as Pharma Bro once boasted that he paid $2 million in 2015 for the auction of Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, the 31-track double album the Wu-Tang Clan spent 6 years creating.
But you know, the whole thing came out that wasn't Wu-Tang. That was just one guy and his producer put it out. It's not a Wu-Tang album.
Is it really not?
Yeah, the Wu-Tang, are like, I look it up. They were complaining about it.
Let me see. Once Upon a Time in Shaolin is the seventh studio album by American hip-hop artist Wu-Tang Clan. It was limited to a single copy sold in 2015 as the most expensive work of music ever sold. The album was recorded in secret over a six-year period. A single two-CD copy was pressed in 2014 and stored in a secure vault. Let me see. Recording. Okay, here's the details about the recording. You ready for this? Wu-Tang Clan began recording Once Upon a Time in Shaolin in the late 2000s with producer Silva Rings. It took about 6 years to complete and was mostly recorded in Staten Island with and produced in Marrakesh. It features the entire Wu-Tang Clan plus rapper Redman, the Wu-Tang Killer Bees, and FC Barcelona soccer players and Game of Thrones actress Carice Van Houten. And two appearances from Cher are on that album. So it sounds like a real album, dude. I don't know.
That is okay. I got wrong, but that is hilarious.
Inspired by the musical patronage of the Renaissance, Silver Rings decided to create Once Upon a Time in Shaolin as an art object. So I wonder if any of these songs have ever been released.
I don't think they're allowed to be.
Really?
I think that was like kind
Imagine doing that though. What that to me that is gross. Like that, isn't that gross to you if you're an artist and you exist to like share your work with people and you do something deliberately so nobody ever gets to see it? Isn't that kind of gross to you?
Yeah, I mean the whole thing is. I mean, like that was a big talking point in that Wu-Tang doc.
Let me see if. Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen that doc. Is that good?
Yeah.
Do they talk about it a lot in there?
Yeah, I mean they talk about how like they felt like that wasn't a real Wu-Tang album.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of the band Weezer, and
because you look like them.
No. And their lead singer Rivers Cuomo famously has what he calls a. I think like a Bible of riffs. He's just got this, he keeps in a spreadsheet and it's all these different chord combinations and note combinations that make, they sound pleasant. He's kind of really analytical. Like he would do experiments. Like he would take one Ritalin and then sit for 3 hours and then not, like he would try to fast and see what he wrote, how he's scientific about his approach to writing music. Anyway, he famously, and fans knew about this, has this catalog of unreleased work. And last year, when he was kind of fooling around on the internet, he accidentally put up a lot of it early. Like, I think he was going to release it eventually, and it got put up. And so he just put it all in Dropbox and sells it for like $9. You can get, and it's, dude, it's hundreds of songs. A lot of them you never heard before, unreleased, or different versions of songs that were really famous. Hundreds of songs, dude. Maybe thousands. It could be thousands. I bought them, and it's amazing, dude.
Did you have a favorite song?
Yeah, dude. There are a couple songs that are killer. Yeah. I might play one in the outro. I'll put one of those songs in the outro to this, which we're
Can
about.
Can you do that legally?
Well, I don't think... Yeah, I think none of these were released, so they're probably not copyright. I mean, there is probably technically copyright, but, I mean, Ari Shaffir puts music in every episode of his show.
And well, you he's know, Ari's, away with it for decades. Ari's magical. I think he's Jewish. He's allowed to do it.
Here, this... Okay, we're winding up here. This is from Insider. Workmen digging in a well in a man's backyard discovered... A $100 million windfall, a $2.5 million carat sapphire cluster, 2.5 million carat. I don't even know what that looks like of sapphire they found in the guy's backyard while working on a well. Men digging up a well hauled up a 1,100-pound sapphire cluster worth $100 million, the BBC reported. The cluster, named Serendipity Sapphire, is 2.5 million carats. This lucky find happened in Ratnapura, known as Sri Lanka's City of Gems.
Okay, so who gets it?
It's his property. It's got to be his, right?
But would you tell him?
Well, it's so big, dude. I mean, he would notice they're excavating his yard. It's 1,100 pounds. He would surely see it.
1,100 pounds.
That's what they said. Yeah, workers digging a well in the backyard of Sri Lankan gem trader. In the backyard... Oh, this is so interesting. The guy was a gem trader. Workers digging in a well in the backyard of a Sri Lankan gem trader stumbled upon a 2.5 million carat sapphire cluster, according to BBC. The lucky find was made in the southern city of Ratnapura. The cluster, we already said that. It's actually not as big as I would. 39 inches long, so about 3 feet long and 28 inches wide.
You could sneak that out.
Yeah, maybe you could. Yeah. Gamaj, a third generation gemstone trader and owner of the stone, he owns it, told the BBC that it had taken over a year to wash off the 1,100 pound cluster analyze the stone, and certify it. The person who was digging the well alerted us about some rare stones. Later, we stumbled upon this huge specimen. Okay, so I see they saw a sign of like some stones, and they were like, hey, dude, you should probably check out your yard. Oh, can you imagine that, dude?
And then they're like, dude, do we get anything?
This guy, this gemologist, said he's never seen such a large specimen before. This was probably formed around 400 million years ago, if you believe time and stuff like that. Ugh. Our guest yesterday would say,
dude,
not
what do you, now here's the whole thing, dude. So John,
amazing.
So I always talk about this, you know, you're one of the rare people I've worked with that you and XG both are two people that I work with that didn't go crazy after, you know, working with me for a while.
And what do you what do you mean by, you mean they eventually became themselves and they were crazy, or working with you made them crazy?
No, fame on any level magnifies somebody, right?
This is not fame, though. I mean, it's
no, the smallest level, Johnny. Within certain people, you have a little bit of fame, okay. Right? Now, our tinfoil hat has been really big, and because you
have fame, yeah.
After us, you know, it's a little smaller than it used to be. It's still doing really well, but it's just. Here's my opinion. If Tinfoil Hat goes another 5 years, right? I think like Odyssey, Rockfin, BitChute are all going to get a bigger share.
I pray to God they do.
I think so.
We need it, man.
I think people are going to start moving off YouTube. I think that's already happening. It's just not moving as quickly as we thought. But, you know, our numbers took a hit. But you guys are the only guys that have been like pretty chill. I've worked with people who have lost their skulls, right? And I've seen people who are kind of like plucked out of situations. And, you know, when it comes to my podcast, I call When the Puppet Thinks They're a Real Boy, I'm a real boy, right?
I've heard Sam say that so many times.
Okay. And then I've seen people who kind of get fame unexpectedly, and they kind of change and become almost dicks or snobs and shit like that, right? Because they weren't ready for fame and they got it, and they're not built for it. Some people eventually go crazy, then kind of settle in. But what we see with lottery winners is they get all this money and they don't know how to handle it. They don't have the mental capacity to deal with the fucking chaos that comes with hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's like the girl who gets hot late, you know, late
bloomer.
Well,
I think that's opposite. That goes opposite. Like, you know, it's like she's a hot chick who used to be fat. Well, they tend to be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm just thinking about how you would deal with that new attention, though. It kind of can melt you
down. Well, there are girls who, like, were unattractive, and then they got somewhat attractive, but then they're posting pictures like they're 10s. Like in that Yahoo thing that they're like, oh, I got kicked out of this because I was wearing a skimpy outfit. You're like, it's not that crazy. And it's 2021 and girls are walking around with their buttholes hanging out. You probably weren't a nice person.
Here's what John Updike, I got this from Ricky Gervais. Here's something that he says about celebrity fame. I think this is really insightful. Celebrity fame is a mask that eats into the face. As soon as someone is aware of being somebody to be watched and listened to with extra interest, input ceases, and the performer goes blind and deaf in his over-animation. And I think that's the idea that it's a mask that eats into the face, I think, is because you're putting this image out there, and then that slowly corrodes your soul. You know, that becomes who you are. And yeah. You stop getting input from the outside because you kind of isolate yourself, and it makes people crazy.
Okay, dude. When I've seen people blow up, they stop hanging out with the same people, and they lose their skull. They lose it because they don't hang out with the same people that knew them when they were a nobody.
Do you think that could happen to you? Like, if you got, like, Bananas Rogan big? Like, were you afraid of that? Is that something you think about?
Like, hanging out with, like, a higher level
people? Well, do you think it could be a problem? Like, would that level of fame, would you not want that is what I'm asking?
Yeah, I would not want that. I don't think Rogan gets enough credit for how amazingly he handles where he is.
Being a normal dude, yeah.
I mean, to the best of his abilities.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the respect.
The few times I've seen him, and they were all just around the Comedy Store with you, thanks to you, he was totally like me, you know, and I wasn't talking. I'm not one of those people that goes around like trying to meet and shake hands and take pictures of everybody. You know, I'll just stand in the corner, and if somebody talks to me, I'll talk to them. And he was totally chill. We talked about like Woody Allen and this weird audio documentary interview with Woody Allen that we both listened to. And yeah, I mean, he had every reason to just be, he has every reason to isolate himself, you know, and get exhausted from seeing so many people. But, you know, you rarely hear, I've never heard anything really that he's been a dick.
I mean, like, nobody, listen, he's a human being. So everybody
has bad days. Yeah.
Everybody's has their moments and their weirdness and their flaws and all that stuff. But very few people could handle what Joe Rogan goes through.
And because of how chill he is, you maybe don't realize how exactly famous he is. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because he is mondo famous.
But I've seen people just fucking lose it. And then you start to see people who, and I think this is going to happen, Johnny. I really do. More and more people are going to start, as the mechanism of the industry gets less and less powerful, more and more people are going to start struggling to get the same kind of reach that they had through the system.
Getting desperate.
What? And they're going to go nuts.
Interesting.
That's my, I got to go.
Okay. Last animal story here. Okay.
All right. Animal stories. I love it.
This is from, this is just all about the picture. This is from The Guardian. This is in Germany. Hey, that's mine. Naked man's wild boar chase immortalized in plastic. Photographer unhappy about the model railway version of his picture she took at what is this? I don't know what that is. Okay. A woman whose photograph of a naked man in pursuit of a wild boar at a Berlin lakeside went viral. Have you seen this? Because I'm about to show it to you. Has said she might take legal action against a company that has immortalized the spectacle for a model railway enthusiast. Okay, so it's this crazy photo, right? And then somebody, this railway, like they make model trains. This designer added it to one of the things. Now, here's the picture. Look at this dude. This dude. So this guy had his like shirt or something taken by a wild boar. He's naked. This guy. And he's chasing after going, that's mine.
Yeah.
Das ist meine. Give me that, man.
Das ist meine Kleidung. And the little boars are following.
Das ist meine Kleidung.
And like, why doesn't he have pants on again?
I don't know. Lakeside. I guess he was bathing. It was lakeside, it says. So he was, you know, Germans. They don't have a...
And people are Germans don't care. Germans just don't. Look at them. A fat, naked old guy's running around. They're like, ja, das flat is free to slaughter.
Nice dick, man. Very good dick. Okay, actually, this is a sweet one. I want to leave on this. Okay. This is from something called The First News. Message in a bottle reveals heartbreaking letter from bereaved father to his dead daughter. Tourists holidaying in the seaside resort of Liba were left heartbroken after finding a letter in a bottle washed up on the shore. Elisabetta and her Italian friend Andrea had been cycling along the sands. They found this thing, and it says, okay, here's what it says. On July 15, 2 months will have passed since your death. I am waiting for you to come to me. You will hug me and calm me down, saying that you are all right. Then maybe my pain will ease and there will be relief. That is why I'm waiting for that day when I see you smiling again. This is where I finish my letter. I entrust it to the sea. And to you, my daughter, I say goodbye and see you. Your forever loving dad. P.S. I love you, Victoria. Victoria.
Okay.
That's sad, right? Isn't that sad?
Yeah. That's how you want to end the show?
Nope. That's why I did that. So we could do one more story after.
You piece of shit. Oh, that makes me so sad.
Last thing. Okay. Ancient
Go to samtripoli.com for all my dates.
Listen, this is from The Guardian. Ancient Gilgamesh tablet seized from Hobby Lobby by U.S. authorities. Hobby Lobby, the craft store, had acquired a 3,600-year-old artifact for its Bible museum, but the court says that it was smuggled and is going to have to be returned to Iraq. A rare and ancient tablet showing parts of the Epic of Gilgamesh, which had been acquired by Christian arts and crafts retailer Hobby Lobby, which is, for display in its Museum of Biblical Artifacts. It has been seized by the U.S. government. The Department of Justice alleges that the 100-year-old Gilgamesh Dream Tablet, which originated in a region that is now part of Iraq, was acquired in 2003 by an American antiquities dealer entrusted with dirt encrusted with dirt and unreadable. So it was just like junk, basically. From a family member of a London coin dealer. Showed
That's
up in U.S. and now the government's trying to take it back.
Story. That's when the soldiers went in and jacked everything.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is a complete utter bullshit story. And this is what we did, which makes me think that Iraq was not about weapons of mass destruction or about oil. It was about ancient knowledge. And that's why.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now we have to end on an animal story. Last one. You know, we talked about servals are just escaping. Remember that cat that showed up in that woman's bed the other day? We got another serval on the loose here.
I sent you a video about a condor sitting on a guy's...
Oh, I saw that. Right? That was cool. A serval is escaped from a North Carolina petting zoo with help from a pig. An African serval cat caught on video walking on the side of a North Carolina road escaped from a petting zoo with help from a pig, the owner said. A witness captured video showing the serval wandering a road and pine tops, and the owner of a local petting zoo called It's a Zoo Life, wow, great name, confirmed that the cat was an escapee named King Sparta. So King Sparta is on the loose from the
run,
zoo.
Run, King Sparta, run!
They are legal to keep in North Carolina. You can keep whatever you want in North Carolina, apparently. Okay, here's the, I'll just show you, if you want to see the serval, it's our last thing here. There he is, just walking down the street.
African cat wandering onto Temperance Hall Road in pine tops. Oh my goodness, it kind of looks like a cheetah. We reached out to the owner of
the pig
It's a Zoo Life, who owns the animal. She told
us, I think it like opened the door for it.
A pig let King Sparta out. She called the cat and he came running back. Exotic animals are legal to own in North Carolina.
Cool,
okay.
Right?
Okay, so that's a house cat.
That's our
He's like,
oh,
dude, get me out of here. You see that cat's like, where am I?
House cats even make me nervous. Dude.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to one of the top Vietnamese podcasts out there. It's been a pleasure. So, guys, what happened was, again, like Johnny said earlier, we had a guest who canceled on Tinfoil Hat.
And for good reason.
For reasons, his personal reasons we can't get into. And so we decided to do Broken Sim right now. And so it was just a little different energy, I understand. But I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you want to see me live, go to samtriplee.com. If you want to see any of our premium content, go to rockfin.com. Some ass. Watch me.